Welcome to the Round of 32 with the Drake Basketball Podcast. Today, we're getting you locked and loaded for Drake's matchup against the Texas Tech Red Raiders. Texas Tech finished the season 26-8 overall and second place in the Big 12. They're the ninth-ranked team in the country and the seventh-ranked team in the net. Eduardo, what do you think about this matchup?
Well, Texas Tech is a much better team than Missouri, in my opinion, which, well, duh, they're a 3 seed and not a 6 seed. I think the things that stand out with Texas Tech, just doing some brief analysis of their team and their season, just the consistency, again, going back to, they're just a good team. I mean, when you go across the board, you know, they were good at home, they were good away, finished second in the Big 12, made it to the Big 12 semis. So Graham McCaslin definitely has done a good job with them. And they play a very different style than Drake does. So I don't know, Tucker, do you think tempo is going to be a big point in this game again?
You know, Eduardo, I think this is really going to be a battle of styles. Whichever team is able to enforce their will on the opposition. No, I can't even go the full length. I think this game is going to be, coaching is going to play such a huge role in this game. And I think it's so intriguing because Grant McCaslin and Ben McCollum know each other so well. One of Drake's big advantages in a lot of matchups is the fact that Ben McCollum is a coaching genius and he coaches such a unique style of basketball that teams aren't used to playing against him. And Grant McCaslin not only has played against Drake in a super secret, top secret scrimmage already once yet this year where Texas Tech allegedly emerged victors by 9 points, but he has been very, very, very close friends with Ben McCollum for years, depended on Ben McCollum to teach him how to construct a lot of his offensive philosophies. So he's going to know firsthand exactly what is headed toward him on both the offensive and defensive ends. And so he's going to be coaching his players on exactly what to expect. And as I said before, they've already had some limited exposure to Drake in that secret scrimmage. So the players are going to have matched up against Drake before, but that goes both ways. Drake has seen Texas Tech players, and Drake's fan base may have some limited exposure to this one player on the Texas Tech Red Raiders. Tell me if I'm pronouncing this right. Kevin Overtoon?
I think it's pronounced Kevon.
Oh, Kevon Overtoon. Yeah, Drake transfer Kevin Overtoon is playing for the Raiders this year, averaging right around 8 points a game. Past Drake Basketball Podcast Freshman of the Year, Eduardo and I, as you well know, were huge fans of Kevin. Got to hang out with Kevin's mom at Arch Madness, great family. So he's been doing well down in Lubbock. But yeah, this is a highly intriguing matchup. The Red Raiders are led in scoring by 6'9 sophomore JT Toppin at 17.9 points per game. He also pulls down 9 boards per contest, so he's a pretty versatile player. He's a really long, rangy athlete, a little bit in the mold of Mark Mitchell, potentially.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up, because when you watch some of their highlights and kind of how they play, there's definitely some similarities. I would say that there's two main differences with Mark Mitchell and JT Toppin, and what makes JT Toppin such a complete player. I think JT Toppin is a lot more bouncy than Mark Mitchell, more methodical once he starts moving in the lane, or, you know, kind of moves a little bit slower. JT Toppin just explodes, and kind of in a different way. Not that Mark Mitchell isn't athletic, but just such a great athlete. And the other thing I'd say that is different is Texas Tech uses JT Toppin in pick and rolls a lot more, and in those dump offs, it's so difficult to stop JT Toppin on those rolls. Does a really good job of adjusting and finishing through traffic. Obviously, Drake's pick and roll ball coverage has been well documented all season. They do a really good job defending the pick and roll. So again, that's always going to be a point of emphasis. But JT Toppin is great. And, you know, I was thinking about this because I think Bennett has been, he's probably been the best player on the court every time Drake has taken the court this season. And this might be the first time that it's a toss-up. I mean, JT Toppin was AP All-American second team, very, very well-deserved honor. So if Bennett needs some extra motivation, he can say, hey, I only made honorable mention, and JT made All-American second team. So he'll be a load and definitely has more variety to his offensive game than Mark Mitchell does.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and just counteract Eduardo's lack of faith and say that Bennett will absolutely outclass JT Toppin. As you saw from that beautiful running three, Bennett's the real deal. There's a reason he's a Bulldog.
I'm just trying to motivate Bennett. You know, I'm just trying to plant an MJ-like seed for him to hold the grudge and right. come out firing on Saturday.
Bennett's not MJ, he's Larry.
True. But, you know, JT Toppin is great. The other thing that people should know is Texas Tech, they shoot a bunch of threes. When I saw the box score, and I watched probably the last 6-7 minutes of the UNC-Wilmington game, that's who Texas Tech beat the last round, they shot 46 threes, which is just an insane number. So they'll put them up. You know, they shoot about 28 threes a game. They make 10 of them. So they'll definitely shoot a lot of threes. They score a lot. Similar to Missouri, they like to play with tempo. They like to push the pace. And the three, I would say for them, the three-point game is even more of a point of emphasis. And they definitely have several guys that can light it up. Kerwin Walton, who only averages 6 points a game, put up 18 threes last night against UNC Wilmington. So they're definitely not bashful about getting the green light. But he is a 40% three-point shooter. So I guess he had the green light to let it fly. Christian Anderson also shoots at over 40%. Same with Chance McMillan. So again, they have shooters. They have several guys that score in double figures. So they're a complete team, and they do it kind of in a variety of different ways.
Yeah, one guy Drake absolutely cannot lose track of is Kerwin Walton. Dude will chuck from three-point range. He shot 8 for 19 from three against UNC Wilmington, as you mentioned. So certified sniper who will fire in an instant. Think Jack Golke from Oakland, but potentially slightly more willing to take twos. But then again, he did go 8 for 19 from three and 8 for 19 from the field against UNC Wilmington. So 100% of his shots in that game were from three.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, the confidence is, I respect it. But one thing I did notice with Texas Tech that can hopefully work in Drake's advantage is they're not shy about one pass shoot. And if they're not hitting, that plays completely into Drake's game plan of how we want to play defense. And because you have to be disciplined against Drake. And if they're not being disciplined and they're just taking shots early in the shot clock over and over again, hopefully that can be something that benefits Drake on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, one key guy from a defensive standpoint that we'll have to watch out for, especially from a guard's defensive standpoint, is Elijah Hawkins. He's a 5'11 senior, transfer from Howard, then a transfer from Minnesota, sort of like a Roman Penn, but without the loyalty and the shooting. He averages 6.5 assists per game, which is 13th nationally, to go along with 9 points per contest. So he's really an architect of their offense in terms of distribution of the ball. It'll be up to Isaiah Jackson and company to get out in front of him, stop penetration, stop him from distributing and kicking. But as we saw Drake do last night against Missouri, I think if they wall up and stop penetration like they did against the Tigers, I think they've got a really good shot at doing that.
I also think Darian Williams, he's a 6'6 forward. He's just big. And like the type of player that Drake sometimes has struggled with this season, not height wise, I mean like girth wise, you know, he's a load. When I saw him moving around the court last night, I'm like, oh no, like this guy is beefy like the Missouri State that had a great game. Not quite as
Big
offensively
Mike.
talented. Big Mike. So yeah, I mean, I guess anytime you're playing a team like a Texas Tech, like they're gonna be taller than us, they're gonna have more size, they're gonna have more athletes. So that shouldn't be a surprise for Drake. And with Kevin Overton, we know the scouting report. We can't lose that, right? Or we can't lose him. Definitely can hit those corner threes. If you make him put the ball on the floor, he can drive it to the hoop. We know that very well. With KO,
if he gets the ball in transition, he's great at finishing.
A terrific fast break player. For with KO, you got to force him to play in between the rim and the 3-point line and force him to hit, 12 foot jumpers or a little floater. That's what you got to do with a player like him. So we can't get that wrong, because we know KO's game really well. And like you said, like their family were always engaging on Twitter and always supportive of Drake last season. So I'm happy he's doing well. But Saturday is all about Drake winning. So we'll put our love aside for KO. And yeah, man. I mean, I'm excited. Texas Tech, like I said, is like another step up in competition for the Bulldogs. I definitely think that, again, it's the same principles, the same tenets that Drake has followed all season. They'll need everything they can get from a physicality standpoint, from an execution standpoint on defense. And to your point, I don't know if being so familiar, McCollum with McCaslin and vice versa, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's a thing, because it's real, right? That they know each other so well, then they understand probably how each team executes.
I was talking with Drake alum and noted tactician Ryan Hunt, and he pointed out that familiarity might be more harmful if Drake's offense and Drake's defense and their overall success was more predicated on specific schemes or plays, whereas a lot of it is really just predicated more. I mean, it's the way they play repeatedly. And as we know, and as we've talked about repeatedly, since it is based on like individual reads and there's so much player freedom to determine how to respond due to each new situation that arises on court, it's something that knowing the offense, it's not something that you can necessarily prepare for just by knowing the coach. It's like you don't necessarily know, like, oh, they're running Atlanta, that means he's running a baseline. They're running Ben Simmons, that means he's running baseline to baseline.
No, don't give away our secret Ben Simmons play. Definitely is, not.
Yeah, no. Coach McCollum asked us to draw that up. So when he calls Ben Simmons for Mitch Mascheri in the round of 32, you'll know what's coming.
That's right.
But one huge question mark for this game is, will fifth-year senior Chance McMillan play? The Grand Canyon transfer averages 14 points a game this year and is an absolute killer from deep, shooting 43% from three. He's been out the past few games with a vague upper body injury. Don't exactly know what. That's all I saw online was upper body injury. So he's listed as day-to-day. Will he play against Drake? I don't know, but that adds another little wrinkle to watch out for. Eduardo, overall, how are you feeling about this?
I expected Drake to be here, so I'm just excited to play a really good team. Like it's hard for Drake to get these opportunities throughout the regular season, so it's always fun when you get to be matched up with a team that has good players, a good coach, and really an opportunity to do something that obviously Drake hasn't done in an extremely long time, and that's make it to a round of 16, which would be incredible. But tomorrow is the round of 32. That's all we're thinking about. Round of 32, the opponent in front of you. But no, I feel good. When we were talking about how hard it is to prepare for Drake, I feel like McCaslin will probably have them a bit better prepared, in the sense of like, don't freak out, guard the 30 seconds. This is what they do. Probably a little bit more than other teams could preach to their team. But as we know, it's a lot easier said than done when you're trying to tell your basketball team to not get rattled when Drake continues to hit buckets within 5 seconds of the shot clock and they continue to just force you to go one and done and control the tempo, control the pace.
Yeah, this is going to be a very tight basketball game, folks. This is a top 10 team in Texas Tech. I don't remember the last top 10 team that Drake played. Maybe Wichita State when they were ranked number one when they went undefeated.
Yeah. That would be it.
But these are the teams that refuse to play us year in and year out in non-conference play. So this is what March Madness is all about. It's they don't have a chance to run anymore.
They only play us in secret scrimmages. I have two is this anything stats for you, you know, because that's my thing now. One is that Texas Tech, as you noted, you know, they are a top 10 team. However, if I can put on my Stephen A. Smith voice, however, they are only 1-4 against the AP top 25. Is that anything? I don't know, but it tells you that they actually haven't beaten too many good teams this year. They obviously played in a really good conference and did really well, but only 1-4 against AP top 25 teams. And we also have to play the transitive property game, as we did with Vanderbilt. We do have one common opponent, and that's Kansas State. They beat them by 4 in Manhattan. So par for the course for how Drake performed in our road game against Kansas State.
Yeah, and as we know, the transitive property is always dead on in basketball, always highly applicable. So,
anything on the Drake side that you think is worth pointing out as far as the matchup with Texas Tech? Obviously, we've spent more time just breaking down their roster and their tendencies and what they do well.
I think having Bennett Sturts on our team could potentially prove to be beneficial to our chances.
What are your thoughts? Good. I was thinking the opposite, but now that you lay it out like that, I think that is a positive for Drake. I think having one of the best point guards in America on our team will be beneficial on Saturday afternoon.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. I think Cam is going to continue to move forward, onward and upward with flying colors. He just seems to relish the opportunity to beat up on these Power 5 opponents. He really steps up his game when the lights are brightest, it seems. He played really well last night against Missouri, and I think this is another good chance for him to continue to have a high motor game, finish on those pick and rolls, get up high with arms vertical and contest at the rim. Can't say enough good things about him. And Tavion is going to continue to be clutch, as we have seen. I just love the way this team plays together, man.
Yeah, I think Cam and Tavion, they really take it personal anytime they're matching up against a Power 5 team or even just against a more athletic team. I feel like they take it personal, like, screw you, like, I'm athletic too. I can out muscle you. I can out jump you. I feel like they take it very personal. Like, okay, just because we're at Drake, you think we're not athletes? Because Cam and Tavion obviously jump off the page in those departments. So I expect them to play well.
It's like when you and I are playing in rec league and we go up against a team of weightlifters. You get the guys with the biceps rolling up, and we're like, oh, okay, fine. We'll see how this goes.
Yeah, but can you hit a floater like I can?
I just want to let our listeners out there know that I have seen Eduardo lay people out at half court with wildly violent tackles. So you know, don't get on this guy's bad side. He may seem harmless on the Drake Basketball Podcast, but get him on a basketball court. Whew.
Hey, every team needs an enforcer, and our team sometimes is lacking in that department. So, you know, there have been some tough plays here and there. But speaking of tough plays, I just want to shout out, I'm ready for a Daniel Abreu game. He's been locked in a cage in foul trouble these past few games. So I'm ready for him to have a big game and to finally not be in foul trouble, because I feel like it's been like three or four straight games that he's just been in foul trouble because we ask him to do a lot and we ask him to guard bigger guys, but I'm ready for a good Abreu game.
Yes, sir, dude. I mean, it's a well-known fact now that Daniel doesn't watch basketball. He sits around and watches movies instead. Well, I feel like Daniel is one of those tigers on a chain in the movie Gladiator, and he's just been let out into the Coliseum, and he just keeps pulling at it, but it's the foul trouble just holding him back, and it's just finally going to snap, and he's going to go off against the Texas Tech Red Raiders.
Yeah, and he's such a good tournament player, too. Like, when you go back and look at his stats, like in the McCollum era at Northwest Missouri State, like, he really thrived in those national tournament settings. So I expect him to have a big game, and we need the guys, everyone, to chip in, and I think they will. And this is going to be a fun game for the Bulldogs.
Yes, sir. Next game, one game at a time. Let's do it. Just be dogs. Go dogs.
Just be dogs. Go dogs.
We interrupt the end of your podcast for an emergency bulletin that we forgot to record earlier in the podcast.
Shout out to Tyson Lagoni, who is spreading the Drake love down in Mexico. Tyson was the creator of the Gotta Love the Drake sign in St. Louis for Drake. And unfortunately, he can't be in Wichita, as I mentioned. He's on vacation down in Mexico, evangelizing the Bulldogs down there. But he's officially requested that somebody make a Gotta Love the Drake sign to try to get on TV here in Wichita. So if anyone has paper and markers, that request has been officially filed via the DBP, via Tyson Lagoni.
Yeah, he had several ideas. He also said a free Griff poster was another one. He also threw out hop on the D train. So he just wants these signs to get created. So he wants to see them on screen.
Sounds like we're in need of more signs.
Also, since we just started our new segment, good tweet from a rival segment of the night. How about Lucas Williamson tweeting last night, "Am I cheering for Drake? Question mark." So there you go.
You can't stop us. You have to join us.
Hey, the MVC family is definitely rallying behind Drake and not putting up with some of the nonsense that was coming out of analysts and Missouri fans and all this stuff. So it's been pretty funny to see. Also, shout out to Connor Enright, who tweeted Isaiah Howard's performance. Like, I think he said something like, really needed this guy tonight. So definitely still feels like he's a part of the program. And hey, he entered the portal. So just come back, Connor.
On another news section, for the most accurate tweet of the night, I want to go to @notJoffreyGrizel, who tweeted, "I'm so serious when I say this. If you can do what he did by staying at Gonzaga in the WCC, why can't McCollum do it at Drake in the Valley?" And that's an accurate tweet. All right. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.